just like an oven. I need loving.
Oh my god, I love this song. It's just the perfect thing to get you in the mood for some sexy time.
Oh, it's getting hot and heavy in the studio.
So this is episode 7 of What the Faux Travel Podcast. And what we haven't got a name for this one yet, have we?
Not yet.
But we're going to describe it as it's a Valentine's special. And instead of being all like lovey-dovey and all of that, we're just going to rip the shit out of each other.
Well, yeah, I think we're just going to be honest about, because obviously it's about traveling, a travel podcast, but it's about traveling with a partner and how to not murder each other.
Yeah, which is like quite hard when you're away.
Especially, what, to not murder someone?
Yep. Because like maybe you've been traveling for 6 months, you're living with each other, you're spending each day with each other, and especially if you're not working abroad, you're literally in each other's pockets all the time. And yep. It's difficult.
Well, we are qualified to speak about this subject because, yeah, we've done a lot of trips together and we survived a lot of trips together.
Yeah, we're both alive.
But yeah, it's a normal thing when you're with someone for that long, every day, you're going to, whether you're friends or a boyfriend or girlfriend, you're going to piss each other off.
Yeah, and it's okay to just say, you know what? I fucking hate you right now. Which I've done on a number of occasions.
But we're going to share some funny stories. I think we're going to give our own tips about travelling with a partner. And we're going to see what other people say. We've had a lot of feedback from listeners, which has been great.
Yes, we have indeed. Just while the song's playing, I just want to say that have you ever seen the music video to this song?
No.
It is so weird. So I hadn't seen it until I was getting the song for the show. And it's one of the weirdest videos I've ever seen. It's literally a porno.
It's really? Definitely.
Did this song come out in like the 80s?
70s or 80s?
Yeah, around that time. And it looks like a 70s or 80s porno.
Yeah.
So Marvin Gaye, who sings the song, he's
Gay.
Just like... Gaye? He's just like hanging about. He walks into this doctor's surgery. And the doctor is a woman, and at first she's kind of like wagging her finger at him, like, no, I'm not going to have sex with you.
Yeah.
And then he ends up like winning her over. It's so weird. It's very, very weird. I just want to point out two dancers in it as well. There's these two women with blonde hair, and I just think they must have been sleeping with the director of that music video because they're not dancers. They're definitely not qualified. They were out of time. It looked like they didn't know what the moves were, and they were just kind of like hiding behind all the other dancers. Anyway, it's a funny video. Go check it out. Obviously, after you've listened to the podcast, because this should be your main focus right now.
Of course.
So let's talk about what have we been up to this month. Let's have a mini catch up.
Yeah, well, the only big thing really, it's been your birthday.
Yay!
So your birthday is the 9th of January. We're recording on the 10th of January.
So it was yesterday.
You've just had your birthday, and I took you out into London for a nice meal where we had the best steak of our lives.
Oh my goodness. Right, now we definitely need to talk about this. This was the best meal I've ever had. And I know a lot of people just say that. I really, really mean it. Ever since then, I've been dreaming about this steak that I had. So it was Gaucho's restaurant in London.
Piccadilly, London.
In Piccadilly. Yeah. And it's an Argentinian restaurant, so it's Argentinian steak, which is known throughout the world for being really, really good. Is it the best?
I think it's supposed to be, yeah. But it's the kind of restaurant where they don't give you a steak knife because you don't need it. Like,
no.
Your knife just goes through the steak like butter. It was amazing.
It was so good. And we ordered, like, sides as well. Sorry, just going to have a little porn moment with food. For the sides, I ordered some mashed potato, which is really simple. Really, like, anyone can make some mash. That mash alone was some of the best food I've ever had in my entire life.
Just the mash.
Like, let's forget the steak for a second. Not for too long, but that was amazing. Anyway, after that, we went to the theatre, which normally isn't our thing, is it?
No.
We don't really like that sort of like musical thing, but we thought this would definitely be right up our street. We watched The Book of Mormon.
Hilarious. So fucking funny.
Yeah.
So good.
So there's a few, well, the whole thing is about kind of taking the piss out of religion, race, and not taking yourself too seriously. And it's written by the same people as South Park.
Yeah, and you can tell when you're watching, but oh my God, it's so funny. Some of the songs and the dancing and everything's brilliant. So I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, and for those who have seen it, you'll know what I'm saying now. Asadiga Ibawa.
Shit comes out their butt. But do you remember there was a bit older, like middle-aged couple sat next to us and they left halfway through, didn't they?
Quarter of the way through.
Oh yeah, it wasn't for them.
She was not happy. There was a certain joke in it, which I won't ruin it for you, but it is a strong joke. But yeah. I was sitting next to them. I could hear that they'd started to argue after this. And then she stormed out and he had to kind of like follow her like a little puppy.
Oh dear. But they missed out because it was brilliant.
It was unbelievable. And there's loads of messages in it. But anyway, go see it if you get the chance. Let's do listener shout outs as well.
Yeah, okay. So in the last month, we've heard from these people. Tia Matthews got in touch with us on Twitter. She said, "Just discovered Faux Podcast. I think the traveller in me is going to enjoy this one." Thanks, Tia. I hope you like the show. And Rich from Australia, who does the RJK World Tour podcast, he said the last episode with Phil about China, it's a great episode. Phil was a solid guest. And also heard from Bobby Whelan. He said, "Hey guys, any tips for Beijing? I'm going in a couple of weeks." I just replied to say, well, just listen to the show.
Yeah, we're so, not going to write on Twitter for you. Come on now.
Well, because, yeah, I guess Phil, it was very knowledgeable. But I hope you enjoyed the show, Bobby. And, yeah, hope we hear from you again. And enjoy China.
Lovely. Okay. Right, so I want to start off by going through an article online, which kind of gives you some top tips on how to survive with a partner. So let's see if we agree with, like, a lot of these.
Yeah.
So number one, make the full extent of your hobbies known before you leave. I think that's quite a good one. So that, although if you don't already know each other, you shouldn't really be travelling together.
Yeah, you're together before the trip, so you already know each other, don't you? And
yeah.
I suppose you wouldn't both agree to do the trip if you didn't have the same interests.
Yeah.
But yeah, have the same interests. Yeah, I'd go with that.
Yeah, because otherwise you're going to like literally get on the flight together. As soon as you get there, you're going to split ways and hardly see each other.
Well, when I say have the same interests, yeah, similar interests. Of course, you're going to be into some different things and that's when you'll compromise occasionally. But roughly, you want to be into the same stuff.
Definitely. Number two, I don't really get the title of this one. Let's see if you do. If you hide things at home, it is 10 times harder to hide them whilst travelling. What the fuck does that mean?
Well, I guess, yeah, if you're not honest and disloyal, maybe. Anyway, in your relationship, when you're...
Yeah.
It's a bit like when you're travelling, everything is like heightened, isn't it? Like emotions, everything's a bit more extreme.
Definitely.
Maybe that's what it's talking about.
But it just sounds really sinister, doesn't it? And then when you go on to read it, it says, "Don't ask me why, but guys just do not understand..." Oh, I said it's written by a woman.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
"Don't ask me why, but guys just do not understand why you need to purchase magazines filled with pictures of celebrities and pretty clothes. When you're travelling, it is harder to purchase them, let alone read them in peace. And yes, I do need a new one each week." See, now, I think we're quite lucky here with it. That is my worst nightmare.
Yeah, already I'm not taking seriously what this person says. I'll tell you what some women do when you're travelling. You meet some other people, you meet this other bloke, and they'll be like, "Why can't you be more like him? Fuck off."
Have I done that before?
Maybe on occasion.
Have I? I don't want you to change.
No, there might have been... No, I think there was one time where you're like, "Oh, look how like, he treats her. Why don't you do that?"
I know exactly who you're talking about now,
well, yeah. But then actually, what annoys me in general with that question is when someone says, "Oh, why can't it be a bit more like that?" It's like, all right, well, that person might have some good traits, but if you want me to be like him, I've got to be like all his bad traits as well. Like, you can't have a perfect person.
That's true.
So just... fuck off.
And then the particular person you're talking about ended up being a very bad person, didn't he?
Yes, I'll be more like him if you want.
No. I just want to clarify. I did say this about 7 years ago when I was a child. I didn't know what I wanted.
I know you didn't mean it.
Yeah, because you're just perfect, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right, okay, next one. Do a trial run. Definitely into this one.
What, like a little day trip?
Well, go on holiday with each other for a short amount of time before you head off full on traveling for 6 months to a year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely always do a trial one. What was our first holiday? I think it was Venice, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was one of the first ones. Venice or Spain, probably.
Spain was the first one because when we first met, my parents had have a place in Spain. So I went off for the summer and you were just so distraught that I was leaving that you followed me out there, didn't you?
Well, I could only get 2 weeks off work. So I think 2 weeks in the middle of when you were away, I came to
Spain. Yeah. I can't even remember how that holiday went. I remember Venice very well.
Yeah. Well, they've all gone good.
So by the time we went to Venice, you took me for my birthday. So that means we would have been together for about 8 months by that point. It was really, really good holiday, wasn't it? I'd say that's the first time we travelled together.
Yeah.
Because Spain was just like a holiday.
Yeah, of course.
I'd been there loads of times. But this is a place that we explored together, made a lot of mistakes. for example. We weren't necessarily on Venice, were we? We were on the mainland of Italy.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realise till we got there. We were staying in, what was it called? It did begin with a V, not Verona, but it was, yeah, we were staying somewhere else, which wasn't on the island, so we had to get a train in every day, but that's fine.
Yeah, and this might sound very similar to Budapest, but we didn't pay for the trains there sometimes. Didn't we get kicked off a train?
Yeah, no, we did get kicked off a train in Italy, yeah.
Oh, mate, we're so
cheap. But also, we went to Venice, so yeah, your birthday must be January. It was really out of season, wasn't it? It was really quiet. A lot of places were closed.
Yeah.
We still had a good time, but yeah.
Yeah, but also, because obviously January is close to Valentine's Day, we went to Verona and we went to see Romeo and Juliet, like Juliet's wall.
Yeah, like the balcony, Juliet's balcony.
And we were on TV as well.
Oh yeah, wasn't it like a Bangladesh TV channel? They're like, oh yeah, for Valentine's Day coming up, we're interviewing couples here in Verona.
Yeah.
They
were like, check out this Sky channel. And then we did on the day, and there was a completely different programme on.
Yeah.
And I think they lied.
Yeah. We're on TV somewhere.
Somewhere around the world. I'd actually love to see that footage because we were so young. Anyway, next one. This one's gay. Prepare to be seen as one. Oh God. You make me feel sick. It says, when two become one. Hideous song and hideous phrase. Oh, okay, so she agrees with us.
Oh, good.
Although you may know you're two independent travellers, others do not. Okay, so this one basically says that if you meet a group of people, they just see you as one, not two independent people.
Okay, well, yeah, that makes sense, I suppose. Like, that does a bit, doesn't it?
To a certain extent. Like, so when we went on that group tour around India, there was loads of couples on that. You see them together and you understand why they're together, but you don't see them as the same people. For example, you might like the girl and not the guy.
Which, well, it's not name names. It's probably happened before, isn't it? When we meet people.
But yeah, that one's gay.
Okay, but is it encouraging you to stay as one or to be your own person? I don't understand.
It says to avoid this, see number five.
Oh.
Number five is you don't have to be joint at the hip.
Oh.
Okay, right, next one. At the start of your trip, put all of your money in one pot so that you don't have arguments about splitting money.
Yeah, okay. What are you looking at that for?
I don't know, I just thought you were going to
make some comment about money. Because didn't we read something before that said, oh, don't worry about splitting everything 50-50? And I'm thinking, yeah, we don't have that problem, do we? No, but we do. Like, whenever we're abroad, okay, put it this way. Whether it's my money or your money, when we are travelling, I see it as our money.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, which works out really well for me because you put in, what, 99%? I put in one and it's 50-50.
No,
I'm joking.
But then, yeah, so I treat your money like I would mine. So if we need to buy something or pay for a hotel room, yeah, I'd have no hesitation taking money off you, same as I wouldn't hesitate paying myself. It's our money. It's not mine and yours.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I do normally pay, like, for flights.
No, I'm joking. Like, you do contribute.
No, I know. I'm just trying to think what actually is our split. Because, well, in our general life, we kind of do things in a ratio. So, like, you earn more money than me at the moment. So you pay for more stuff, but we kind of, the ratio's the same.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, for you, like, less money is more valuable to you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because I'm poor.
No, but we split, yeah. I think the ratio, that's a good word to use. Same travelling. What, do you want to put a percentage on it?
Yeah, what would we put that as?
The whole
trip. Be careful here, Nick. No, yeah. Joking.
The whole trip, once, yeah, everything, spending money and everything. What do you reckon? Like me, 65?
I was actually going to say you, 70.
Oh, okay.
Am I being generous there?
Possibly. Somewhere between...
Well, you're being generous there.
So, yeah, somewhere between 60 to 70% I probably put in.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But in the future, when you are earning more money than me, it'll be the other way around.
Oh, it'll definitely be that way, yeah. I've already said that.
Oh, I definitely will be earning more money.
I will owe you quite a few holidays.
No, so yeah, it's a travel investment for me.
Absolutely.
I know I'm going to get a few free trips, so it's all good.
Yeah, cool. Okay, so this one kind of goes back to the start of something that you said. Don't compare yourselves to other couples.
Yeah, definitely don't do that.
I just think you should do that in real life. I think this article is an article on how to be a couple rather than how to travel as a couple.
An article on just how to have a relationship. Yeah, never compare yourself. Because like I said, another couple do good. You might think, oh, they're really good at that. But then they could be awful at something else.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, he might pull out his chair for her, but he also...
I was wondering what you were going to say there. Pull out...
I didn't get that. But yeah, he might pull out a chair when she sits down, but he also might cheat on her.
So, too extreme.
So you're like, well, do you want me to be him or not?
Do you want me to pull out your chair and do you want me to cheat on you?
But you know, you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Right, this is the last one. Remember that walls can be thin.
Oh, no.
Very thin.
Oh, no. All right, move on.
You're such a prude.
No, it's only because my mum listens. Yeah, good tip.
Good tip. Okay, shut up. What did we think of that article?
But actually, well, okay, yeah, when you are in a hostel or wherever, yeah, you don't want to hear of other people just as equally as you don't want other people to hear you.
What are you throwing across the room? I could just see you throwing things.
All right, well, all right, if you want to know, the viewer's going to love this. I had a bit of paper on the desk and I threw it in the bin across the room and I got it in.
Did you? Nice.
Kobe.
Why Kobe?
It's a basketball player.
Oh, Kobe.
But I think he was notoriously shit. Okay.
Right, okay, so we're going to go on to another article now. So this is something I found on the internet, I don't know how long ago now, like a month, 2 months ago. That's right. Boring, no one needs to know that. Don't you just hate it when parents do that?
Yeah, was it Tuesday or was it
Wednesday?
Was it Wednesday?
It's like,
don't give a fuck.
just shut the fuck up. Not just parents, obviously, everyone does it, but oh my God, just get on with the story.
Hurry up.
Okay, right, this article is all about people that you meet along the way when you're travelling. So right. I think you put a post about this on Instagram a few months ago, didn't you, about not having any space on the plane?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So people who kick their chair back and you're just like, hello, I do fucking exist.
Yeah. I do fucking exist.
So they're calling it the me generation because everyone's just thinking about themselves and just not making any room for anyone else, which definitely pisses me off.
Yeah, I remember flying back from Sri Lanka with you. And you remember there's someone behind you, like, she was standing up talking to a friend who was sitting down and she was, like, leaning her arm on your chair.
Yeah.
So every time she spoke, like, the vibration of her voice just kind of moved her and you're sitting there going back and forward. But instead of, you're, like, such a passive-aggressive, instead of saying, excuse me, you'd be like, Nick, this is fucking pissing me off. So then I said something to her.
This is so true. Did you?
Yeah, I said, can you stop doing that, please?
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's not that hard, is it?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely passive-aggressive, so
yeah.
A lot of things piss me off. And who do I take it out on?
Yourself and me.
No, I was going to say you. No, I think, you are the one that gets the brunt of it.
I just learned to kind of not really listen, but yeah, I think you...
To me?
Yeah.
Or to the-
But I just think you punish yourself more. Like you let yourself get wound up. If we're at like a gig or a show, you're like, can you hear them people? Oh, at the cinema, then people next to us talking. I'm like, no, I can't hear them. And I couldn't, but now I can. Now you pointed it out. But you sit there the whole time. You can't concentrate because someone's talking.
No, and I'll just make loud grunting noises. Like, shut the fuck up.
So
I just
British.
Get, yeah, I get really, yeah, I'm the true definition of a British woman, yeah. I definitely think. And yeah, you just get the brunt of it the whole time. The first one on this article pointing out people that you meet along the way when travelling is called the noise and troublemakers. So this is anyone who reads aloud. Have we ever come across that?
No, you sometimes do it if we're at home and we're reading.
Do I?
Yeah, and I'll just say to you, in your head.
In your head. Yeah, you do say that, actually. One of the other one is the fragrant... I can't say
what?
This. Fragrant. This is really hard to say. It's like two words beginning with F. The fragrant flyers. So perfume lady, who it says who... Okay, this is a really difficult article to read. Quetishly?
What?
Coquettishly? Coquettishly.
Don't know what that means.
Okay. Replies. Okay. I can't even read.
Can you
this.
Read today?
No. Shall I skip this? It's basically saying the woman who just constantly reapplies her overpowering scent.
Yeah.
She's constantly putting perfume on the plane.
Never come across that. You get people farting on the plane, don't you? Or on the trains in India, which just stink of shit because you're never too far away from the toilet, which is like the hole in the ground, but people still miss it.
That's true. People do miss it. The nerve wrackers, the woman carping constantly about her claustrophobia to the flight crew, flustering and futzing. What kind of words are in this article? Even before takeoff, everyone around her rolls their eyes, fully aware she's simply angling for an upgrade.
I had a dream. The plane went down.
You were in it.
I've never come across someone who's really nervous. You get, actually, with age, you get more nervous with flying, don't you?
I do. I don't know what's going on. So when I was a kid, I was fine. I used to love landing and like a bit of turbulence wouldn't bother me at all. As soon as we jump a little bit, I'm grabbing your hand with my sweaty hand.
You ask me what it is, as if I'm a qualified pilot.
What the fuck is that?
Oh yeah, that noise is normal, don't worry.
I think you gave me like a really ridiculous answer once saying like, or is that on Friends?
Oh, about the phalange.
It's the left phalange.
Oh my God.
I think I'm more of a nerve wracker, but I would never dream of talking to like air hostess because of it. I'm too embarrassed to do stuff like that.
No, you just talk to me about it, but yeah, you wouldn't speak to a stranger, would you? Mm. Like, what can they do at the end of the day?
Right, the other one, the way to at home travellers. So these are people who take their shoes off on a plane, take their socks off.
Yeah, that's me.
Relax back. Is it you?
I don't put my chair back, like, well, a bit, but not much. But yeah, I'll take my shoes and socks off on a plane.
Mm. This one says, it's anyone who goes to the bathroom without putting his or shoes back on. That's disgusting.
It is disgusting, but I have done it before.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay, now this really surprises me because you're a bit of a germ freak like me.
But again, like I said, you get more nervous. With age, I am getting more germ conscious. So I wouldn't do it now, but I have done it before.
Oh, yeah. Kind of lost respect for you a little bit there.
I don't do it now.
Okay, all right. Along the same theme, it says, a family that forgets the entire row is not a romper room for its adorable twin two-year-olds, allowing them to clamber over, under and through other passengers' legs, chuckling indulgently. Yeah, fuck off with your kids. That's how I feel.
Yeah, some people just don't get embarrassed when their kids behave badly in public, but you would, wouldn't you? You'd like tell them to shut up straight away.
Yeah, like I've always said, if we ever had children, I think this would be my Achilles heel, and the kids would know this. They know that if you're at home, I will crack down on you. No, not violently. I mean, like,
metaphorically.
I will be really strict. As soon as we go out, they will know I'll be embarrassed to shout at them in public, and I'll be embarrassed to do all of that because people will be looking.
But what I meant was, if they were crawling around annoying people, you would stop them because you'd be embarrassed to let the kids carry on.
Oh, definitely.
Whereas some parents don't seem embarrassed. They're like, oh, isn't he sweet?
Yeah. It's like, no, he's just spat in my face. Get him the fuck off me. I get so angry with children. Well, not children. I think children are fine. Like, they're just doing what they've been told and how they've been brought up. But it's the parents. Just keep them out of my way. I haven't got kids for a reason, because I do not like them. Get them away from me.
And a lot of parents, I'm sorry to break it to you, a lot of parents need to realise, no one gives a shit about your kids apart from you.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll be the same with our kids. I won't show other people pictures or talk about them because no one else gives a shit apart from you.
But yeah, just, I understand if you've just had a baby and yeah, you want to show pictures, that's fine. But if your kids want a certificate at school, no. Don't show me a picture on your phone of them accepting the award on stage.
I think actually this is a good time to say congratulations to our friends Brad and Chloe that just had a baby. And we did meet the baby the other week, and he was very, very cute.
He was very cute. Oh, and they actually listened to the show as well. So congratulations, guys.
But we're talking about when you're out travelling and yeah, when you're in public,
yeah,
and parents don't control their kids.
This is actually something that I think we both disagree on. So would you go travelling if you had children?
See, on the one hand, it would be a really good education for them, but until they're a certain age, they just wouldn't appreciate it. So I think it's money wasted.
Yeah.
I'd rather enjoy it myself.
But do you not think that from age 0 to 10, because I really like psychology and stuff, and I think that's the foundation to their personality. So, yeah, they might not remember every single moment, but they'll learn by, say, for example, if you're volunteering in Africa,
yeah,
they'll learn and pick up things and they'll be more of a humble person and be grateful for what they've got like later on in life.
Mm. Yeah, it's very true. I don't know what the appropriate age would be, but you're right. Them first 10 years, they're very easily influenced, is that the word?
Yeah.
Or they absorb everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I think it is a good education, but if, well, yeah, a baby, obviously you're not going to remember, I don't know, below five or six or seven, probably too young.
Yeah.
Don't know.
See, now I would take children travelling. I think it would give them an amazing education, but most importantly, it's for selfish reasons because I never want to stop travelling.
That's why you take your kids travelling, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be like, this is my life, I'm important, we're doing what I want to do, okay?
Yeah, fair enough. And on that topic about travelling with kids, actually, this is really cool, and this backs up exactly what you're saying, Amy. One of our followers on Twitter, Jason Marshall, he's recently just done a big trip around India with his wife, and he's with his son. And you can actually find his son on Twitter at at RTWKid, I guess, Around the World Kid.
That's so cute. I like that Twitter handle.
And there are some great pictures, actually, of him in the middle of, he's holding hands with, what, six little kids from Africa.
So he, I've seen this picture. It's really nice.
So it's like
nice.
This little white boy in the middle surrounded by these little kind of black kids all the same age. And it's really nice. He'd learned from a young age to kind of be friends and accept people of all races, which
exactly.
is really nice.
Never discriminate.
Yeah.
I sounded like Brent then. Do not discriminate.
Discrimination, bad. I hate it.
So how old is this kid?
He only looks about 8, 9 or 10. So I don't know what happens with school or anything, but that is such a good education.
Jason, if you are listening to the podcast, let us know what he does do for school, because that's interesting, because I might do that. If we have children, which...
Which we will.
We need to have this discussion off air. No, I'm joking. Right, so for the rest of the show, we're going to play a game now. Mr. and Mrs., if anyone knows it. We're also going to be telling like funny diva stories about each other when we've like travelled together, which...
I've waited years for this moment.
This could get a little heated. And then we're also going to be telling you the five most romantic destinations to travel to as it's coming up to as it is Valentine's Day. Also, some of our listeners have got in touch very nicely of you and told us things that you like, tips and stories of how you've travelled together. So I'm excited to read those ones out. And then we've finally got to talk about what we're going to call this episode. Right, okay, so let's start with this game, Mr. and Mrs.
How well do we know each other? Mr. and Mrs.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's now time for Mr. and Mrs. So this game will determine how well we know each other. We're going to read three scenarios to each other and give each other options, and we have to say which we think the other person is most likely to do. So, Nick, you go first, and I have to see how well I know you.
Okay, scenario one. What type of trip would I prefer? African safari, mountain gorilla trek, or culture and history?
Oh, okay, so, yeah, you'd like all of them. Gorilla trek is the one thing that you've always said, like, oh, I would just love to do that. But you do love your culture and history as well.
Well, all three of them, yeah, I'd love to do all three, but
yeah.
Which one the most?
I'm going to go with gorilla trek.
You are correct.
Yes.
First
ding, ding,
one,
ding.
Right. Well done. Second scenario. What is my favourite part of travelling? Talking to strangers, activities, or sightseeing?
Oh, God, that's hard. Right, so I'm going to try and do, like, elimination. So if we went for a whole trip without talking to strangers, I don't think that would be too much of a big deal for you. Like, obviously, it enhances... Well, I definitely think it enhances the trip. If we did a whole trip without sightseeing, you would not be happy with that. What was the third one?
Activities.
So what's the question? What can you...
What's my favourite part of travelling?
I'd say sightseeing.
You are incorrect.
Really? Which one?
Yeah, actually, the one you thought the least. Talking to strangers.
Really?
Like, meeting strange people. I even remember with our tour guides in India, I asked them every stupid question under the sun because I find it fascinating.
Yeah.
Anyone that does travel with me, they'll soon realise I do ask a lot of strange questions, which you sometimes get embarrassed about. You think, don't say that, that's offensive, but I'm just interested.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's what fascinates me about travelling. And then, final scenario. What tour would I prefer? Okay, Gecko's trip, which goes London to Venice. It stops in Paris, Bruges, Amsterdam, Berlin, Krakow, Prague, Vienna, and Budapest.
Oh, sounds like a good trip.
Yeah. On the Go tours, which starts in Costa Rica, then goes to Guatemala, then Honduras, then Nicaragua.
Okay.
Or a G Adventures trip, which goes Cairo to Petra in Jordan and finishes in Amman, also in Jordan.
Okay, so the question was, which would you prefer? It doesn't matter whether we've been to these places yet or not.
Or, like, if we had to do it tomorrow, which do you think I would choose?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, London to Venice, Costa Rica to Nicaragua, or Cairo, including the pyramids, Cairo to Amman in Jordan.
Right, okay. So I would say that if we hadn't been to any of these places, the European one, the first one, would definitely be your favourite because you love Europe. Recently you've been saying how much you're surprised and how much you love it. There's a lot of beer tours and stuff like that, a lot of history. That's definitely right up your street.
Yep.
But if we were going tomorrow, I would say the Oman one, the last one's probably last place. But I'd say you'd want to do the whole Guatemala one, Nicaragua one.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
No.
No, oh my God.
I thought you were onto a winner, because at first you said the exact right thing. You said if we hadn't been to these places, the Europe one.
Yeah.
And I would have agreed with you. But we've been to a lot of them places. And Central America, I don't know much about it, but from what I have seen and heard, I think it's quite boring. People who've been there are probably going to say, oh no, you can't say that. But yeah, the pyramids, Cairo,
no.
Petra, yeah, like the Middle East, I think that'd be such a... Because again, it's so different from what we're used to. I'd be really interested to go there. Would I enjoy it when I'm there? I don't know, but that's the place I would go tomorrow if I could.
Oh, man.
You only got one out of three.
Oh, this is so good. This is...
Right, when quickly, because you've done bad, let me give you another one, which I thought was going to be an easy one. So, right, ready?
Okay.
This is my just-in-case one. When travelling, what drink would I prefer to order? Unknown local beer, my favourite beer back home, or a spirit?
Unknown local beer.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You got it.
Right, okay. I hope you get, like, no points now, because I'm going to look like a bad girlfriend after, or fiancé. Oh, Jesus. Right, okay. Number one. Which of the following destinations would I find the most romantic for a Valentine's trip, okay? Number one, an igloo for two in Sweden. It may be cold outside, but it will be warm under the reindeer skin blankets in your igloo at the Jakarsvala Ice Hotel in the Swedish Arctic Circle. Spend a sub-zero Valentine's Day dog sledding. Dog
Dogging.
Sledding?
Under the reindeer blanket. Hey, hey.
And steaming in your private sauna. There's even a licensed ice chapel for an ultimate white wedding.
Nice.
Okay, that's number one. Two to tango in Buenos Aires. So sultry Buenos Aires is the place to quite literally sweep your Valentine off their feet doing the tango. Visits to Argentina's passionate capital sway in dimly lit clubs where cocktails and daring dance moves take you back to the glamorous 1930s.
All right, you've painted a nice picture.
Okay, number three, castaway in the Seychelles. So if the idea of being stranded on white sand beaches and splashing in the Indian Ocean appeals on Valentine's Day, so will the Seychelles. For seclusion, book a hotel on boulder-speckled La Digue, I think that's how you say it, or coral-rimmed Dennis Island.
I would have to go with number two, Buenos Aires.
You are incorrect.
Oh, no.
I thought you were going to go with this.
The igloo one?
Yep, it's the igloo one. Argentina is my most desired country, but I think that igloo one, the dogging under the reindeer blanket has swayed me, no doubt.
Giggity, 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 giggity.
Right, number two. So we arrive from the airport to our hostel, okay? It's 11 in the morning, so we have the day ahead of us. What am I going to want to do for most of the day? A, shower. Get that plain feeling off of me. We need a bit of relaxing time before proper travelling. B, head straight to the nearest activity centre and book the local tours for the very next day. Or C, go to the social rooms of the hostel where people are hanging out and play some card games with our new friends.
Okay, now, I know this, and if I've got it wrong, you're lying. Okay.
Okay.
Definitely number one. You want to shower and relax before we do anything.
Okay, I'm going to read you the question again, right? So we arrive from the airport to our hostel. It's 11 in the morning, so we have the day ahead of us. What am I going to want to do for the most of the day?
Most of the day. Well, so yeah, showering and getting ready wouldn't take up most of the day. But
I'm not saying what would be the first thing I would want to do.
Well, that would be the first thing.
What would I want to do with the day? You've got it wrong anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Most of the day, I don't think you want to do any other things most of the day. Socialise with people?
No, B. I'd want to go
I'm always the one that says, come on, let's go out and book some activities and some tours.
Yes, granted. The first thing I would want to do is have a shower because, I just feel disgusting. But the thing I want to do on the first date is get things booked. Let's get the rest of the holiday sorted.
Who are you? That's not the Amy I know. Right, move on. This game is horseshit.
Third and final one. We've just arrived in a brand new country, just landed, got our bags and walked outside of the airport. We are suddenly surrounded by local taxi drivers harassing us to take their taxis. What am I most likely to do? A, smile politely and just book a taxi myself.
No.
B, tell everyone to fuck off and hike our way to the hostel. C, Get angry that people are in my personal space shouting at me, pushing leaflets in my face, so I keep my anger inside so much that I erupt and shout at you, because let's face it, when someone else upsets me, it's definitely your fault. So I get angry and tell you what to do with the taxi man because I'm too scared to do it myself.
Yes, number three.
Yay!
Yes! I'm glad I got one.
Did you get the first two wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Oh, so I beat you, motherfucker.
No, you only got one right.
No, I didn't. I got two.
Because I gave you a bonus question about the local beer.
I thought I got two. Look back on it.
No, you've got Gorilla Trek right, Talking to Strangers you got wrong, and the tour you got wrong because I said Middle East.
Oh, shit. I don't think we should get married. We don't know each other.
Oh, this sucks.
Right, okay, so like I said, a little bit later, we're going to be telling you your stories that you've gotten into us, which some of them are quite funny, aren't they? And some top tips on how to travel.
Really good.
But first, this is where it's going to get heated, okay? Do you want to tell your story? And I'm really scared about which story you're going to tell, because you've got a multiple of stories that you can tell about me.
So much material.
When we're traveling. Do you want to go ahead and tell your story?
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, there's a few things that I thought of.
Oh, God.
But no, there's only... There's only a couple. One which I remember getting really annoyed at you was, we were in Nepal and we was on a bus journey back to Kathmandu to finish our tour with our guide, Bikash.
Right.
And every time we leave a tour leader, someone in the group gets assigned to collect all the tip money. And it's quite stressful because you have to say to people, I think we should give this. No, he deserves that, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you have to ask people for money, which is never nice. So I'm trying to do that. And on this occasion, it was my choice. I said to you, it's okay, Amy, I've got it. Don't give me any money. I've got it.
Okay.
I've got this one covered. So I'm collecting everyone's money. I've got it all, which is awkward enough. I'm putting it in my wallet. And you just look at me in this, because we've been on this bus journey. You're obviously in a bit of a mood. You look at me and you go, Nick, you're so fucking unorganised. Why are you putting it in your wallet? Because it's going to get mixed with your own money. And I just thought, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm trying to do a nice thing here. And again, it's my choice, but your money's not here. I said I'd cover it. And I got really annoyed. And I said to you at the time, I was like, fucking hell, I'm trying to help here. And then it went silent. And then, you know, a bit like when a kid's told off. And you were a bit told off. And then you were quiet for the rest of the journey. But then later when we got back to the hotel, we'd cooled off. And then even though I was in the right, I was like, sorry for shouting at you because you were wrong. But again, stuff like this happens. But there was one time, just one more.
Wait. Go back. I'm trying to think, where else would you put the money? Why did I say that?
Exactly. You're like, this should be somewhere else you're putting it. You're so unorganised. And I just felt like there's a real attack when I was trying to do something nice.
In the risk of embarrassing myself. I think that's just because I'm thinking, yeah, it'll get mixed up with our money and then we won't know what we've... That's just clicked. I know what story I'm going to tell about you.
Oh yeah, I know as well.
I've got my story now.
In my defence for Nepal, I had it in my head. I knew what was going on. I had it organised.
Yeah.
So fuck off.
Okay.
But one more quickly. When we were walking around New Delhi, actually you mentioned it earlier, which seems to be the most busy place on earth. I think about, I don't know, 10 to 20 million people live there.
And
I think we saw them all that day. And yeah, in India, the men stare a lot, especially if you're a white girl. I've been walking through town, thousands of people, and all these men are staring. You're like, Nick, all these men are staring at me and you're not doing anything about it. Like, what the fuck am I supposed to do about the whole of Delhi looking at you?
No, right, okay, I'm going to defend myself on this one.
Yeah, all right.
This is not that they're looking at me and you're not doing anything. Like, I don't want you to start fights with random people on the street. That is ridiculous. But it's more of keeping me safe. Like, being a woman, and I'm not saying that women are better or anything like that, because let's face it, we are living in a world where men can travel by themselves and pretty much most of the time be okay. If a girl travels on their own, there's so many precautions and things you've got to do to look after yourself.
Especially in India,
yeah,
I'll grant you that.
Definitely. There's a lot of stories that come out of India and I did not feel safe. So I was just really upset and I just felt very unsafe. The way that the men were looking was just...
Yeah, I agree.
Whoa. Men can be quite strong sometimes, but I've never felt it on that level.
Yeah, it wasn't nice. But...
really leering. It was disgusting. And I was just saying, can you just sort of cover me, or I don't know, hold my hand, put your arm around me, just show that I'm your woman, I'm your possession if you want.
you are my female.
Yeah, and just I just felt very unsafe, and I'm kind of like a dog in that way, where like if a dog feels unsafe they'll attack, do you know what I mean? And I'm very much like that.
I know what you mean. Even though you didn't believe me at the time, I always had my eye on you. So like if someone had grabbed you, if someone had grabbed you, I would have been on it straight away. I knew where you were all the time.
Yeah, okay, but we put that aside.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fine. Just stuff when tensions are raised a bit and you're stressed and hot and sweaty. Stuff like this happens.
Definitely.
So you were hot and sweaty. Why were the men looking at you?
Exactly. I don't know. And that's the thing. They'll look at anything.
Go on then. Oh, actually, yeah. So that just was going to lead me on to say, yeah, a few times in India, we got a bit annoyed of each other. And at one point, I was close to pushing you in the River Ganges. With all the disease in the water.
Well, I would have been blessed. So it's fine. I would have had a happier life.
That's true.
I would have been reincarnated. So fuck you.
Right, go and tell the very embarrassing story about me when I was very stupid.
So you know what I'm about to say. So we were on a trip in Barcelona. Well, we were doing a trip from Amsterdam to Spain, well, all around Spain, with another couple who I lived with in London a few years ago. They're a Brazilian couple from Rio.
Yeah, one of the suburbs of Rio, I think.
Yeah, just outside. I think they're just outside Rio. We were travelling together and we were walking down Las Ramblas, which is that really famous street where there's lots of like stalls and stuff and games that you can play. So we walk along and there's these guys doing this card trick. You know when you have three cups and there's something under it and they move it around and you have to guess which one it's under. Mm. And we're standing there and Nick's watching while I'm talking to the other couple, just us three having a chat. And Nick's watching thinking, and I could see the hunger in your eyes. You're thinking, mate, I've guessed this right every fucking time.
Yeah, that guy there, he's won loads of money.
Yeah, and there's a lot of tricks like this in London and the same in Rio. So I was talking with the other couple about how, like, obviously this is a trick. When, without me knowing, Nick is standing there in his head with euro signs in his eyes thinking, I've got all of this right, I could win this money. And he's thinking, we didn't have much money for the rest of the trip, I could double our money, I'll look like a king. I think they were your words.
I thought I'd be a hero. And I'll be like, the drinks are on me, guys. Yeah. It would be so good.
It was obviously not going to work out that way. So the guys who keeps winning is in on the trick. How can you not see that? They're all working together. And like, fair enough. Like, I wouldn't have got that angry if you chucked down at 10 euros or something, which is the equivalent to what, £6, £7?
Something like that, £8.
No,
maybe.
No. We don't have much money for the rest of the trip. You whack down a 50 euro note, which is like 40 fucking quid. And we couldn't eat for the rest of the trip or something. And I saw you chuck down that money and my life just went in slow motion. I'm like running, like, no, trying to get everyone out of my way, everyone standing there in a circle. And I said, Nick, no. And by that point, the guy had already slammed his hand down on the floor and he'd taken your money. And everyone looked at you. Oh, I was livid. And so we had like no money for the rest of the thing, but I was so angry that we had like carried on walking down Las Ramblas and there's like a port at the end. We was like looking at the boats and stuff. And I remember the other couple just thinking, like, what can we do? What, like, oh my God, they're having a massive argument. What can we do? They just felt so uncomfortable, obviously. Yeah, I couldn't even look at you. I was livid. And you know when you're out with a couple and they argue in front of you and it's really uncomfortable?
Awkward.
We would never do that now. But back then I was just so angry. Did you get that one in?
Stop looking at me throwing things in the bin.
Stop chucking things in the bin then, okay. While I'm talking.
Keep going.
Yeah, I was just livid. And then you finally made up to me. I wore you down.
Like,
you wore me down by giving me puppy faces and stuff for like the next hour. And then we were friends again, but...
Like, yeah, it was our money that we lost, so I understand why you're mad. But then all I did was, I went to a cash machine, I got another 50 euros out and said, yep, yeah, I was an idiot, hold my hands up, lesson learned, here's 50 euros.
But it, like, that upset me that it came out of your bank account as well, because that was a trip we actually did everything 50-50.
Yes, no, we did split it. And yeah, we didn't have much money, but I still had some more money in my bank, so drama over.
Okay, whatever you say. I still haven't fully forgiven you for that.
It was stupid.
Right, let's talk about the top five romantic destinations to travel to.
Okay, so yeah, we've got a list here. Apparently, we've got Las Vegas at the top. I know a lot of people get married in Las Vegas, but I don't think it's very romantic.
No,
do you?
I don't think that's in order, by the way. They're just like...
they're just romantic places to go.
Yeah.
All right, Las Vegas, which I have been to, but I was 18, so I couldn't do anything, which sucked. Romantic Persian walkways, so they're going for a way around there as romantic.
Nice.
Who'd have known? Two to Tango in Buenos Aires,
yes,
like you said
definitely
earlier.
Definitely want to do that
yeah,
one.
That'd be good. We've got Igloo Village in Sweden. Is this where you got your questions from? The scenarios.
No.
Okay. Again, Castaway in the Seychelles. Oh my God. So I'm just repeating myself. Yeah, that would be a nice place to go. And Fez in Morocco. Now, we've been to Morocco. Well, we definitely didn't have a romantic time. It was just stressful with people always approaching us constantly. Buy this, buy this.
Yeah, that was the strongest selling we've ever experienced. They just wouldn't give up all the time. And like Nick being such a nice guy, you like always look at them in the eye and say, no, thank you. Like, I don't want to buy it. As soon as you look at them in the eye, they will follow you for the next hour. Like in Thailand and stuff, once you say strongly, like, no, I'm not going to buy anything, they kind of leave you alone. Not in Morocco. They will follow you around for, I think we were followed by like half an hour.
God. It was
for that,
so stressful.
That shisha pipe.
Mm. And Bath in England, which actually I think we're going to go to next weekend to explore. They've got all the kind of thermal waters, a bit like in Budapest. So you can go for a nice spa day in Bath. And Venice, obviously. Yeah, we've been there. That is a romantic place to go. But I'd say Verona, which is a train journey away, a 1 or 2 hour train journey, because that's where Romeo and Juliet was set, like we said earlier. And Kerala, which I did that in Australian accent, but it's in India. We are going there in September. We're going to Kerala, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going there for our honeymoon.
So there's some ideas for you guys if you're thinking of having a little romantic retreat for Valentine's Day.
So that wasn't top five, was it? How many were there? Like 10?
I think so. I just read about 8 of them, I think.
Yeah, nice. Okay, so if you want to take your lady away, or if equally, if you want to take your man away, then they are the destinations for Valentine's Day.
You heard it here first.
Right, let's finish with our listener story. So we've been I don't think we've been too nasty, actually. I think we've been all right.
To each other?
Yeah.
No, it's been fine. No, yeah, it's been good.
Like, are we still going to get married?
Yes.
Despite the fact I'm not wearing my engagement ring.
Right? Yeah, you forgot to bring it today,
didn't
you? The
one day I forgot to wear my engagement ring, I feel naked without it. And we were like, yeah, we're going to definitely argue in this podcast.
But no, it's been good. I don't think we're going to argue after this. But you learn from these, you know, when you're, these experiences are away, you learn from them and then you're stronger because of it.
Yeah, definitely.
So on the last show, we asked a few of our listeners to get in touch with some funny stories about them travelling with partners and tips. And yeah, a load of people got in touch, which is great. We heard from a guy called Jeff, who is the founder of What Doesn't Suck. These guys are travel bloggers / travel guides. And he's American, and I believe his partner, Anne, is French. He said, to be totally honest, Anne and I had known each other for less than a month when we drunkenly booked our first trip together.
Wow.
And not a small one either, Thailand for New Year's. We both shared the same realisation, this could go really bad. That was over a year ago, and we've gone to 11 more countries since without a single major problem. Anyone will have their little fights, and we're no different. Anne is horrific at directions. There, I said it. But does this stop her from boldly marching in a single direction for 18 minutes before realising she has no idea where she's going? No, of course not. We've learned to laugh at this one. And me, I have a problem of always pretending to speak the language of any country I'm in.
You're definitely guilty of that one.
Yeah, he goes, and he says, did a guy just ask me on the streets of Amsterdam if I want to buy some heroin and go to a whorehouse? And he goes, I've no idea, but my answer was probably, oh, hey there, friend, absolutely, let's do it.
That's funny.
He then goes on to say, Americans have a problem being over-friendly sometimes and enthusiastic about everything. He says it drives many of his friends nuts, including Anne. So we also heard from our friend Richard again from the RJK World Tour podcast. He says, as far as tips go, he says the obvious one is you need to be into similar stuff, which we said,
yeah,
have the same interests. He says when him and his girlfriend went to Tasmania, she wanted, or she was expecting, beaches and sun, but instead he gave her a week in a camper van. It was raining and cold.
Aww.
He said, but she was open-minded and we really enjoyed it despite not being her ideal holiday. And at the moment, actually, Richard's in Hawaii and she's in Malaysia.
So oh, wow.
So maybe that's the secret to travel apart.
Yeah, maybe that's the answer to a long and loving relationship.
And our friend Carl Watson, who's a travel filmmaker, he makes travel documentaries. He says, in terms of tips, if you're traveling with a friend, I would say even though you're traveling together, it doesn't mean you have to do everything together. This could be as simple as doing different activities during the day or even spending a few days in a separate place and meeting up at the next stop. There'll always be some compromises when travelling with someone, but don't let them stop you getting what you want out of the trip. Otherwise, you'll resent them, which I suppose is true.
That's definitely true. And he travelled, well, because we've watched his travel documentaries, which are amazing, and we'll tell you about them at the end of the podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
As he's going to be a guest on our show, which is all exciting. But he travelled with one of his best mates, James, and we read in an article by Flashpacking Duo that he was really lucky that James was just so easygoing and he just let Carl do whatever he wanted on the trip and he'd follow him.
Yeah, so Carl said he had the best of both worlds. He got to do everything he wanted to, but also with his best mate,
yeah,
which is really good.
Perfect situation. So just find someone who's submissive and you'll be fine.
But by the way, you guys have to look on YouTube, search Carl Watson travel documentaries, especially his Hong Kong to New York film.
Unbelievable.
Brilliant. And they put shit on TV like That Hell of a Tour by Channel 4 and Foster's.
Yeah.
What the fuck's that all about?
I know. That's got so much hate on Twitter.
And like Carl's videos are so much better.
Oh, they're amazing.
Anyway, RTW Stefan, Round the World Stefan, said, so after me and my girlfriend spent a lot of time getting from one place to another, we're both pretty tired, cranky and stressed out. So we'd reach the destination and get into an argument about finding our accommodation, getting something to eat, etc. You know how little things become a big deal when you're not in the best moods. So rather than argue over something pointless, we started to assign roles before reaching our destination. For example, I would sit with our bags, find out how to get our accommodation and contact the host, while my girlfriend would go off and get some drinks, some snacks, a meal for us, or buy our onward tickets. This way, we're split up for a short while and doing our own thing that gives us time to chill out and reflect on what the argument was. So when you have separate roles during stressful times, it's a lot easier to accomplish things.
That's brilliant, that one. And that's definitely something I think we should take on because we haven't done that before.
Yeah.
And it's very easy for things to be heightened and angry. And that's a perfect solution, I think.
That is a good tip. Yeah, I like that. And finally, Flashpacking Duo, British travel bloggers, they said... Myself and Claire have had some thoughts on how we'd manage not to kill each other. He said, compromise, obviously. He says, a romantic travel experience, He says, forget it. Yes, you no longer have the pressures of everyday life. And yes, you may be in the most beautiful parts of the world, but don't be fooled. You will still have small disagreements once in a while. 24 hours a day is too much with anyone. So wherever you're staying, find your nearest exit point for some door slamming and calling off. He also says one day a month, maybe have some separate plans, a bit like what Carl said with when he's chatting with a friend. So even as a couple, that still works for them to do the occasional thing apart.
Yeah, definitely. Really good advice there.
And can I just give a couple of my tips?
Yeah.
My own tips. I don't know whether this is for travelling with you, Amy, or for travelling with a partner.
Oh, God.
But so you see, the thing with you, Amy, you're happy when you've eaten, you've had a good sleep, you're not too hot, and you're not too cold. So when you're travelling, it's not that often, is it? But no, seriously, travel can bring out the best and the worst in each other. So I just think don't look too much into the arguments. Like,
yeah.
There's no real reason behind them. It's just because you're all a bit stressed out.
Yeah. And it is healthy to argue as well. So don't like feel down about this. This is turning into a fucking therapy session. Don't feel down about arguing because it's good. It means you're telling each other how you really feel.
Oh, and before I do forget, can I just say, I forgot earlier, the incident in Australia when we were in the camper van, the day you had three showers.
Oh, no.
The dreaded day. So we left Noosa, I think, really early in the morning to go... I don't know where we left, but we were going to the Whitsundays to Airlie Beach.
Okay.
And you showered really early in the morning before we left. And I'm like, don't worry about it, because it's going to be a sweaty, horrible journey anyway. Then you showered when we got there, even though we were about to go swimming in the sea. Then we swam in the sea, done whatever. And then, of course, before we went to bed that night, you then had to shower again. I'm like, Amy, three showers in one day. You can't keep going this way.
I was having a major OCD day that day. I just felt so gross and grubby. And it's because of our camper van, which was amazing. Like, by the end of the trip, I didn't want to leave it. We rented it by the company Wicked. So it's Wicked Camper Vans. And it really was. Like, it was shit. I'm going to be honest. Like, it was dirty. There was no bed covers. Nothing. We had to buy our own pillows and stuff. Kitchen at the back, which you can't even call a kitchen, but it was just home by the end of it, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Just like you said, by the end of it, you loved it.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
And then I didn't shower for like 6 days. No, I'm joking. I did. I definitely always had a shower a day. I can't live without my showers. Right, let's talk about the name of this podcast.
Yeah.
Because I think it should be something like Valentine's Domestics or Domestics Abroad or something like that.
Couples Abroad. Yeah, I don't know. I don't want it to be too gay. I want it to be funny.
Yeah.
So
we're not talking about a specific country this time because we normally kind of work it around that, don't we? Like,
yeah.
Peru, do you think you are?
So it's been very different, this one.
Okay, well, we might think of something a little bit later, but I'm definitely going for Domestics Abroad. I like that.
Yeah.
Sounds like a TV programme. Domestics Abroad.
That's true.
Right, so thank you very much. There's two things we still need to mention. That today, the day of recording, we have an article that's just, or an interview that's just gone out by Flash Packing Duo. You can find them on Twitter and Facebook, and they have their own website as well. And we have been interviewed by them, so you can go along and read that article. We'll post the link on our Twitter and Facebook, which is @FauxPodcast on Twitter. You know, give us a like and a follow on Instagram as well. That's WhatTheFauxPodcast. And our email address, if you want to get in touch, is whatthefaupodcast@gmail.com.
And yeah, thanks to the Flashpacking Duo for interviewing us. Yeah, it was really nice of them to do that.
definitely such a lovely couple, and we're getting them on the show as well, aren't we?
Yeah, in a few months' time, yeah.
Definitely. So next episode, I'm super excited about this. So the guy we were telling you about earlier, who made the travel documentaries, he's called Carl Watson, and he is our guest next month. And I believe we're talking about New Zealand.
We will, yeah. We'll focus on that. That's his favourite country. But, of course, we're going to talk about all his adventures around the world.
Yeah. But in the meantime, I highly, highly, highly recommend you go check him out on YouTube. His name's Carl Watson. That's Carl with a K. So K-A-R-L. And Watson is W-A-T-S-O-N. And just look for Hong Kong to New York. And I really am not saying this because he's coming on the show and we're going to meet him, but it is the best travel documentary or film I've ever seen. And it's better than BBC and all of that. And they're like my dream employers. I absolutely worship the BBC. So yeah, just definitely check this out. It's one of those series that you sit down and then you end up binge watching it for the rest of the day. It's unbelievable. And then you'll know more about him when we interview him for our next podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening. I hope you have got loads of tips from this and you're not going to have so many domestics when you're away. But if you do, make sure you send us a story.
We want to know. Yeah, come on. We've shared our private stories with you. Some of our listeners have as well. So thanks again for that. But yeah, hopefully you've learned something. And if you haven't, hopefully you've just had a laugh at our expense.
Yeah. Right. Well, we will see you next month with Carl Watson.
Don't forget, you can get in contact on @FoePodcast. That's Foe spelled P-H-O. Or What's the Foe Podcast on Instagram. You can also email us whatthefoepodcast@gmail.com.